All right, we are back. Long-winded spiel coming at you from a brand new location in Canoga Park. The long-expected delay. Sorry for taking so fucking long from episode 18 to now, episode 19. Didn't expect it to go as long as it did, but hey, it did, and here we are.
That's what she says.
Yeah, there you go. It's a good thing. In this case, it's a good thing. I mean, the bright side of it is that there's been so much time has passed between episode 18 and now that we have so much to talk about.
Man.
And we're going to try to keep it within 45 minutes to an hour, but worst case scenario, episode 20 will be a continuation of episode 19.
Yeah, could double dip today, actually.
I mean, we could. It's definitely, it's on the docket. So, yeah, man, I mean, we're just going to dive right in. Once again, Derek Lee Ramsey here.
Mike G here.
Mike G's here in the house, in our brand new place.
In the apartment.
In the apartment. Yeah.
We no longer live in a house.
We no longer live in a house, and I'm actually really happy you brought that up, because this episode, for sure. This episode is titled Clearing the Air. A lot of shit has happened from episode 18 till now. One major change has been our living situation. Again, listeners, this is if you want to check out now, please do, because it's going to be a little bit of me venting. We're obviously going to be sprinkling in a couple of, you know, UFC news and UFC fights and a couple of, you know, our takes on upcoming matchups and the NBA. We're going to talk
a little bit about the NBA. Why I'm not watching it.
Yeah, exactly. Why we're boycotting
it. I'm boycotting some NBA right now.
Goddamn right.
But that's a teaser. That's exactly. A teaser for later. And
exactly. So that's what's gonna keep you hooked. You know what I mean? You're gonna endure the next 30 minutes or so of us fucking clearing the air and venting and just giving you our personal thoughts. And then we're gonna close it off with some fun talk about the UFC and the NBA. Okay.
Back to lighten it up. Yeah. So if you have kids in the room, now would be the time to escort them to their.
I'm gonna give you 5 seconds of dead air.
Four.
All right, those fucking kids better be out of the room.
Should be past your bedtime.
Here we go. So yeah, quick backstory on the living situation. We're not going to give out locations or names or addresses or anything like that. I'm glad I said that then. Okay, I'm really happy I said something.
We didn't go over ground rules beforehand, so I'm glad we got that covered now.
Yeah.
We are allowed to cuss, though, right?
Yeah, for sure. Fuck yeah, we are.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so really quick, listeners, excuse me if I'm not able to really speak up or enunciate. I'm dealing with a little bit of a dental situation. I have a wisdom tooth that decided to peek its head through. And so, yeah, I have a little bit of an issue going on with my jaw. I can't talk very well, but it's all good. I'm enduring it. I mean, it's been clearing up a little bit. It seems as if the worst is behind me. Touché. So I'm thankful for that. But I do have a little bit of like discomfort. You know what I mean? Especially when I smile or if I open my mouth too wide. But yeah, I'm gonna get through it.
Touché.
Yeah, for sure. So going back, shit, man, living situation. So we're gonna take you back, everybody. Oof. We had this. Amazing.
Wow.
Just beautiful four-bedroom home.
Three-story. Up on a hill.
On a fucking hilltop, away from the mass amounts of people that are scattered throughout the San Fernando Valley.
We haven't heard a siren. Let's just put it this way. We haven't heard a siren in a couple years. Like, whenever you're living in city life, all you hear is just, you know, fire trucks and police cars, ambulances whizzing by. Yeah, those just look like pretty lights to us from up there. It was really awesome. Minus, you know, people getting hurt and stuff.
Oh yeah, that was just kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about just open space. You know, clean air. We had neighbors. Don't get us wrong. And then for the most part, we were there. What, just shy of 3 years, right?
Yeah.
This August would have been year number three.
Yeah. We moved in September 1st.
Okay. This September would have been our third year. And then in that time, our neighbors were great. I mean, we had great neighbors. We had a good rapport with everybody.
I was about to use a name. Oh man.
Yeah.
Can we use it? We can't use his name? The alpha neighbor?
Oh, fucking Barry?
Fucking Barry, dude.
Dude, Barry, you're the man.
Barry, shout out, dude. Nothing but good things to say about you, man.
Barry was great neighbor. Barry was our across-the-street neighbor. And then by street, I mean a one-lane street.
Mm-hmm.
It was that kind of...
It was a private road.
It was a private road, and it was one lane. So, I mean, it was just... It was so secluded. So Barry, quick backstory on Barry. We have two stories. I'll tell mine, and Mike will tell his.
All right.
So the first day we actually went to go view this house, I had parked in a area where there was this brush that was completely overtaking the side of the road, right? And I didn't see that there was this major crack on that side of the road. My tire ended up getting stuck. I couldn't get out of this fucking divot. And I was lost. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any rope. I mean, I didn't have any help from anybody. I mean, Mike was there.
Yeah.
Mike was there. We all tried, putting as many rocks and different objects so that my tire can get traction to actually get out of that little divot that I had.
And Barry did have a little bit of rope, but it was not strong enough. It snapped.
Oh, shit. That's right. Yeah. I did.
Just putting it out there.
Holy fuck, man. Thanks for bringing that up.
You're prepared.
I did have a rope. You're right. But it was that cheap plastic kind of. Yeah. So I did have a rope. Did not hold up. I completely forgot about that, to be honest with you.
We tried. We gave it the old college try. Let's just put it that way.
We sure gave it the old college try. And just wasn't working out. So again, this was us viewing the house. Like, we hadn't even figured out whether or not. There was no application sent in. There was no talks with the other roommates on whether or not this was a viable option. It was just, hey, let's go check this place out. So we're there, what felt like an hour.
At least.
It felt like an hour.
Yeah. I had to, call into work a little bit.
Yeah, so did I, man. I remember that.
Or maybe you did, and I'm just remembering that.
No, I think we both did, actually. But aside from that, I end up going, was it Kristen or you? Or who doesn't fucking matter. We ended up getting the attention.
That, bitch.
Yeah. We ended up getting the attention of our soon-to-be across-the-street neighbor, which at the time was just a random stranger, Barry. Once again, dude, you're the fucking man. I ended up going over there, explaining the situation, asking if he can help me out. This fucking guy had a legit fucking towing rope, a straight-up, its only purpose is to tow heavy objects, tied everything up. He had me out of that fucking hole in what? 30 seconds.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
If that.
And we're like, we don't want to break your rope, sir. Be careful. We've already snapped a rope. And he just kind of chuckled at us and goes, this thing could pull out a tractor. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. And the whole time, this motherfucker is holding a glass of iced tea. And he just pulls me right the fuck out. We have a really good conversation. And that was my first introduction to our neighbor, Barry. Yeah, yeah, really cool,
really
fucking
nice
dude.
Guy.
Really cool dude. Nothing but good things. Actually, I still have his number.
Me too.
Yeah, for sure. I still got his number. I ended up getting somewhat close with the guy.
Yeah.
I think we all did.
We ran with his dog.
Ran with his dog. We'd take his dog out all the time. Yeah. It was like a definitely like a high and by kind of a relationship. How's your day going?
Yeah.
Yada yada yada. All right, great. What great weather we're having. That kind of shit.
I would move his trash bins across the street for him after they got picked up.
Yeah, I've done that a few times myself. For sure. When it was windy and they would fall over, I'd pick them up and move them over too. But yeah, so you tell your story, because I wasn't there for this one. I had just left.
I assume that the story is when we're
the
talking
alpha
about when,
part.
Okay.
This right? Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right. My story with Barry, which, I mean, thank God it wasn't directly with me, was with another neighbor who had just moved in. So another background to Barry, this guy's been on this block for about 30 years now. And he pretty much runs stuff. He's raised a family there, has some lovely daughters who are in college, graduated.
They're
whatnot.
All very sweet.
Yeah, everybody, super nice family. The dog that we run is a golden retriever. You know what I mean? It's picturesque, and he runs his own business.
And he's got a white fence surrounding his fucking
house.
He's
got a white fence.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't even think of that,
but
you're right.
Probably the best view in the valley.
Probably.
I mean, this guy's doing it right. So some guy comes, moves in next door, and I don't know the full background on the story, but he ends up saying something like, he ends up having it out with Barry's wife in the middle of like a gardening dispute. She's gardening, and then the dogs, like his dogs, come up and scare Barry's wife. And Barry's wife gets offended and gets scared and tells the new neighbor, like, hey, can your dog, or whatever. I don't know what the words were exchanged, but words were exchanged. Barry gets home, mind you, walks inside, walks into the house. And then shortly after comes storming out as the neighbor is now walking these pit bulls or whatever. I think they're pit bulls.
Yeah, it was a pit bull mix for sure.
Pit bull mix.
Yeah.
So Barry comes out and confronts the new neighbor nicely at first and says, like, hey, man, like, I really don't appreciate, your dogs scaring the crap out of my wife, basically. You know what I mean? Like, they've been barking nonstop, this and that. The new neighbor kind of scoffs at him and goes, who the hell do you think you are? You know, King Tut around here? Like, he's like, your wife yelled at my dogs. You know, I was defending my dog's name or something like that. Like, came with some crude and rude. Barry snaps, dude. Gets in the guy's fucking face, dude, and is ready to fucking go, dude. Fucking ready to throw down instantly. Yeah, and that was pretty much the gist. This guy basically, as soon as he saw the look in Barry's eye, completely cowered down.
Yeah, didn't he push him or something like that?
Barry pushed him.
Yeah, Barry
pushed him. He was ready. Like, it wasn't like Barry was, like, faking anything. Like, Barry went up ready to go, like, was expecting there to be a fight, because that's the way that this guy was talking.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as Barry came on the other side of the fence and the guy saw Barry's fury in his eye, it was game over. This guy cowered down, basically.
There you go.
And you kind of just knew then that Barry had a... all we had seen was just a nice side of Barry. But then when you saw the fucking, you know, the other side of the coin, it was pretty intimidating. And, it was pretty much in front of all the roommates, too. He was ready to throw down in front of everybody with no regard. But, yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's what makes him the alpha fucking, that's what makes him the alpha guy on that block, in my opinion. Because, like, you know, he obviously was defending his wife's honor. Like, hey, your dog scared the shit out of my wife. I'm not trying to tell you what the fuck to do. But at the same time, can you please keep your dogs from, you know, practically trying to rip my wife's head off through the fence.
Yeah, and he pretty much told him.
This guy was a younger guy.
Yeah, he was definitely younger.
He was bigger, physically bigger than Barry.
Oh, he had Barry by like 60 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that big of a guy, you know. I'm 5'8". I'm about like 170 or so. And I was a little bit bigger than Barry, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit bigger than Barry. And this guy was bigger than me, you know. But this guy did have long hair. So I'm kind of like, dude, that's a bad strategy,
bro. That's a bad strategy.
You just get a hold of that fucking locks and that's it, man. It's over. Uppercuts for days.
Yeah, I was just thinking uppercuts
for days. I'm sure. And Barry's got that 1970s porn star stash.
Yep.
So you know he's been in a few street fights because
for sure
somebody has made fun of that stash at some point, and Barry's had to defend himself. Guaranteeing that.
And Barry's been a contractor his whole life.
So you know he's got that grown man.
He's got that grown man strength.
He's got that forearm
strength.
Exactly. He gets a hold of you and it feels like it's a fucking
torquing,
vice grip.
Yeah,
oh
exactly.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
You don't want to fuck with Barry.
Oh, you definitely do not.
We went on a fucking 7-minute tangent about how awesome Barry is.
Barry, you're fucking awesome, buddy. If there's one thing I missed, I mean, if there's one of many things that I miss about living in that particular place was being your neighbor, buddy. You're a cool fucking guy. Even though you're probably never going to hear this. But I might text you one day.
I'm actually going to text him.
Be like, hey, we're...
I'm going to text him.
Yeah.
I swear.
He's a cool fucking guy, man. Really.
Best neighbor I've ever had.
Yeah, dude. I'll text him if you do it.
Especially now that I'm going to text him about this. You were the coolest.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, we got... So, Barry's a cool fucking dude. So we find this place. It was fantastic. We end up, you know, submitting our application... Everything.
No credit check.
No credit check. It was very much like we just kind of like met with the owners and they seemed to like us. And then it was just based off of just feeling and just overall energy and how we were all, you know, like how we all got along. And then they can clearly see that, you know, myself, Mike and the other roommates were all very close and we're all very serious about taking care of this home, mm-hmm. of this house, and then turning their house into our home, and they saw that right away, and then they were nice too, you know. The owners were definitely. I mean, I have nothing bad to say about them, really, you know.
No,
I mean, there were a couple things I disagree with, but at the end of the day, you know, they're still nice people.
At the end of the day, they would send us, you know, Christmas cards and holiday cards,
for
and
sure,
it was nothing but pleasant.
Yeah, exactly.
We paid our rent on time, 110% of the time.
Yeah,
so.
There were just a couple of things that just kind of like rubbed me the wrong way, but again, it's all small stuff compared to the grand scheme of things. You know, sure. Like it was fun. I enjoyed it, and I was really thankful that they gave us that opportunity. And, I mean, we had a great time there.
We had a great time.
Great fucking time. But then, we're fast forwarding now.
I was going to say, fast forward
to the vent session.
We promised these guys a vent session.
We're going to fucking give
it
to them.
We're going to fucking get there. I swear to God.
Oh, fuck my jaw.
Barry.
So, yeah. Going back to everything. Oh, what, 4 or 5 months ago or so? Maybe six months ago?
About December, the house goes out. The house directly next door
That's
to us goes,
what it was.
Goes for sale.
Mid-January is when they moved in, right?
Yeah.
I got you. Okay, so...
These motherfuckers.
Okay, so...
Fucking pieces of shit.
For the better half of a year, we had this neighbor, this younger guy for a neighbor. His name is Mike.
Yo.
So he was a cool fucking dude. You know, he had a dog. We got along. He was a nice guy. And then he ends up moving out, and the house ends up going on the market, and it was actually empty for
like 4 or 5 months.
About 4 or 5 months, exactly.
Owners lost income for sure.
They did, for sure they did. So I'm assuming at that point they were just really desperate on selling this property, and then comes these neighbors.
These motherfuckers.
And I don't even
know
their names, and even if I did know their names, I wouldn't say it because I don't want to give them any fucking anything at all.
They'll take us right to fucking court.
Fuck these guys. So these guys come in. It's a couple, two dudes, and, they were polite at first.
I wouldn't even say they were even polite at first.
I had one encounter with him that was somewhat, not pleasant, but it was very just like a professional, hello, how are you? Oh, are you moving in? Oh, great. I hope you like the neighborhood. Have a good day. Like
you got the most.
That was the extent of the conversation.
You got the most,
it was the
most
extent
positivity
of the
out of it.
Dude, it was a very quick 15, maybe 20 seconds, maybe 20 second conversation on just, hey, oh, you're moving in? Oh, cool. Yeah, we're moving in probably, early, mid-January. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Welcome to the neighborhood, that kind of a thing. And that was it. I got that quick little introduction. You can't really gauge a person off of that,
No.
You just get a face. That's all you really get.
Yeah.
A face and a quick size up. And immediately I was thinking to myself, oh, well, hopefully these guys are cool. Boy, was I
fucking
that was
wrong.
Wishful thinking.
Oh my
I
God.
Was fucking 100% wrong. So, do you want to take the first half of it?
These guys basically hated dogs. I mean, I feel like I'm just going to rattle off if I start going, I'm just going to go.
Dude, please.
Cuz these guys basically hated dogs for the first part. They, without even introducing themselves to any of the dog owners, decided to demand in terms of we've been living there for a couple years. We've been taking the neighbors' dogs out. We have a rapport with the neighborhood. There's a certain way that we were doing things. We would let our dogs go out to the little side yard and they would go to the bathroom and we would pick it up and, but it's not like we had them on a leash. It was a private road and nobody was up there. To give you an example, the previous owner in that residence would leave his dog Cyrus out for three hours at a time, and he would just kind of roam around and then come back home. Like, it was a very relaxed, very dog-friendly neighborhood, and everybody was very chill with it.
Everybody was chill with it. Everybody was.
So, fast forward to these guys move in, and all of a sudden, we get in 4 days or 3 days, something like that. In the span of 3 days, we get the sheriff's department called on us, animal control, the police, and the city, inspection. These guys called every favor in the book, every sort of city ordinance that they could to try to harass us, basically, and make us provide. Apparently, in Chatsworth, you have to have. Your dogs have to be neutered, first of all, to live in Chatsworth, so you can't have a dog that's going to reproduce. The dogs have to be chipped, all kinds of just technical things, where if you don't, if you don't believe in that, it shouldn't have to happen. If you don't, you shouldn't have to neuter your dog if you want it to eventually reproduce. If you're a responsible dog owner, that should be your decision.
Oh, fuck yeah, it should.
That's semantics, neither here nor there. The point is these guys called on us over and over and over again, repeatedly harassing us to the point where they called the city on our septic system, which then resulted in our landlord incurring a huge expense, in which case she has to excavate the septic system, which would then cost her about 30 grand or 25 grand or whatever she was quoted. And since we were on a month-to-month contract at that point, instead of putting us up in a hotel room, we got the 30-day notice to be evicted.
Yep.
And I kind of brushed over a bunch of stuff there, but we got into a bunch of verbal altercations with these guys in terms of they tried to demand certain things of us without even introducing themselves. And where I come from, you got to at least introduce yourself. You can talk to me like an adult and we can shake hands and let's have an adult conversation.
Yep.
But if you come over and you start putting your finger in my face, or you start telling me and demanding me to do something, you know what I mean? You're gonna get met with a little bit of hostility. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just basic human nature. Anytime anyone approaches another person that they hardly even know,
haven't met the motherfucker.
I mean, at this point,
and
we're
it's
not
a
even
neighbor.
On a, yeah, it's a neighbor, and it's at this point, neighbor. We're not even on a first name basis. I don't even know your fucking name, guy.
Yeah,
I'm gonna. I'm referring to these fucking assholes as guy. Fucking
guy.
Guy. This fucking guy.
This fucking guy.
Just coming over and then, you know, demanding certain things. And it wasn't just that he was demanding it. Because there's a way to get the message across without talking down to someone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they were that they were lacking at that particular part. Because they were just, they were demanding as opposed to saying, hey, I don't mean to come across as an asshole. They don't necessarily have to say that. But it's more so like, hey, can you please do this or that or do whatever it is that's causing you causing you some distress or whatever the fuck the issue may be. But there's a way of talking about it. There's a way of communicating that to someone to where you don't have to feel as if you're being attacked. Right. Now, don't get me wrong. I never had a personal altercation with them regarding them talking to me like that. Mm-hmm. It was always it happened between you and them and Trevor.
It was first with Trevor. Yeah. First it happened with our roommate Trevor, mm-hmm. and then I got the background on it, so I already kind of had a taste in my mouth as to how these guys interact. Then the interaction that I had with them, I was brushing my teeth one morning and it was raining.
Oh, okay.
And I remember that, and I didn't have. I didn't have my face on, let's just put it that way. I was brushing my teeth, wasn't really ready to talk to anybody. Brushed my teeth, let my my brother's dog, I was dog sitting at the time, let Cal, that's Cal, C-A-L, not Cow, because everybody thinks I call him Cow.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, let Cal out to go to the bathroom, and he's going out while I'm on the porch brushing my teeth, and then the neighbor comes out in the rain. And while I'm tying my, because I'm late for work, so I've got to do multiple things at once. Like I got to let him out to take a piss, I brush my teeth, tying my shoes, like doing all kinds of stuff because it was just that kind of hectic morning.
You're spinning plates, man.
Yeah, exactly. And then this guy, during that stress, and after I've already heard the story of how these guys are assholes, you know, based on a previous interaction, he comes up to me and goes, "You know, it's really irresponsible of you to just let your dog go to the bathroom like that." And I go, I just look up, and then he goes, are you gonna pick up after him? I would hope that you would pick up after him after he goes poop. And then I looked up, and I just said, I do. And again, I was brushing my teeth, couldn't really have a conversation with him. And I also was just a little offended that I don't even know this guy's name yet. And he's trying to like tell me how to handle the whole dog situation. Mm-hmm. So then I go back to tying my shoes. And then he goes, you know, just because it's raining doesn't give you the right to be irresponsible. And then I looked up at him and I just gave him this look and I go, my answer to you was yes. Like, and then I took all of my strength to not say anything else, like not to cuss at him or nothing. I was like, my answer to you is yes. You like, you effing idiot. You know what I mean? And then went back to tying my shoes and he was just flabbergasted at that point. And from that point on, he, you know, like 2 days later, we start getting animal control at our house and sheriff's department at our house and fucking... Yeah.
Yeah, they called the animal control because they were saying that we had multiple dogs loose, which isn't necessarily it's kind of true, but it's kind of not true. It wasn't as if we would just let our dogs out and let them roam around the neighborhood. It was more of a thing that the location that we were living in, it's like out in the Santa Susana Trails. It's like right in the middle of it. So there's 15 plus miles of open trails in either direction.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about you go north, you go east, you go west. There's just open terrain. So we would walk our dogs up to these open fields and open trails, and then most of the time we had them off the leash. But we were present. We were there, and our dogs are very obedient because we have put the effort as far as in training him.
Because like, we're good dog owners. Our dog will not leave our side.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen some shitty dog owners, and I've seen some dog owners that, you know, I tip my hat to because I'm like, wow, your dog's fucking well behaved.
Very well behaved.
Maybe a little bit better than mine. Uh-huh. But still, I don't consider myself a bad dog owner, and I 100% don't consider myself, a responsible dog owner, right? I 100% consider myself a very responsible individual when it comes to life in general and my personal responsibility with my fucking animal. So we would take these dogs out and we would have them off the leash and there was never a big deal. It was just like, oh, well, we're going to go out to the field and we're going to come back. And these guys decided to use that little moment and apparently take pictures or video.
They were trying to take video of
our dogs off the leash, even though we were there. I'm assuming,
and
okay.
it's like three houses from our front door to these trails. It's less three
than,
houses,
less than 50 yards.
Yeah,
it's less than 50 yards. It's less than half a football field, like less than that.
Yeah,
and we're talking about. Again, I'm stretching it. I'm giving a little bit of a stretch. If anything, I'd love to get a fucking an actual measurement on that, because I guarantee you it's less than that. I guarantee it.
So
yeah, these guys would take videos and pictures of our dogs off the leash, and in Chatsworth, regardless of anything, unless you're in a certified dog park that is fenced off on all sides, your dog has to be on a leash that is no longer than 6 feet. Well, fuck, I found that out now, you know?
Yeah. And that's...
now I know. Hindsight's 20/20.
To me, that should be... I mean, this is a very specific scenario, too. That's more of like a city ordinance, and we were technically living in Chatsworth, but we were living in the hills in a private road, you know what I mean? Like, with no traffic. Like, it's just a different scenario. But
yeah,
either way, these motherfuckers did enough to fucking...
They definitely did enough to get a rise out of us. So,
which we never counted. We never got mad at them.
We never got mad. We never did anything vindictive. We never, outside of a few words here and there, which, I mean, fuck, dude.
I'm saying once they start harassing you with sheriff stuff, and once you know that they're trying to get you to either get your dog's balls chopped off, or they're trying to fucking call the city on your landlord.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So there are two cities here in the, There are two cities in LA County that you actually have to it's illegal to have your dog not neutered or spayed.
Yeah.
So these guys found that bit of information off, and my dog is one of my best friends. Like, I love my dog. He's like my four-legged son. You know what I mean? Like, he really is. I've had my boy since he was 7 weeks old. He's turning 5 on September 14th. So that's a lot. That's a lot of time spent together. So me being his guardian, his caretaker, his best friend,
his dad.
What kind of a father would I be to chop my boy's?
Why would you chop his nuts off?
Exactly. And you know what? I did some research behind that. Don't think of it as just like I made that decision based off solely like emotion and all that other shit. It was 100%. Like, I weighed out the pros and cons. The main reason why animals are neutered and spayed is to keep stray dogs from being born, like going out and then having a litter, and then most of those puppies end up in the pound. I get that. But a lot of them are saying, well, a lot of the information is kind of misconstrued, and it's really they're cherry picking the information as far as, oh, not only is it good for the whole, like, all the dogs are going to pound, but apparently it's also good because, like, testicular cancers runs really high and this and that. Well, so does hip dysplasia. Hip dysplasia runs high in most breeds, and my dog in particular. So, like, it's just, it didn't really make sense for me. I just felt like they were really cherry picking the information. Dude. It was most dogs are aggressive after a certain age if they actually have their testicles, which is 100% not true. According to the American Kennel Society, dogs that are neutered as opposed to dogs that aren't, dogs that have been neutered have shown to be 40% more aggressive than dogs that are not.
Yeah,
and that's, you can look that up. That's on their website.
Pissed off that they got their nuts chopped off.
That's on their website. That's not like I'm on a YouTube fucking channel and I'm like, okay, this guy's video is clearly legit. That's on their website. So say what you will. I mean, I think...
Look at your... If you have any male relative, guys, text them and just say... Or whatever. Just say, hey, if testicular cancer ran really high in your family, should we cut off your balls at birth? And just ask any man, any human, if they would be like, oh yeah, dude, I totally don't want testicular cancer. You should cut my balls off. Preemptively.
Uh-huh.
And not a single person in the world would say yes to that. So
yeah,
like,
why would we
do that to a dog?
I think a lot of that it's just cherry picking. But again, I think the ultimate reason is because there are a lot of, stray dogs in the pound, which I get.
That part's true.
I get. And I 100% do not like that. That's why it kind of bothers me whenever friends of mine have litters and they are kind of irresponsible with it, and then like that litter, I get worried about it. I do. Or whenever I fucking hate going to a pound. First off, I really do.
Can't go.
It's really hard for me to go.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it's I think that falls on the responsibility of the dog owner. You know what I mean? Like, I do. I really believe that. I'm not saying I can keep an eye on Achilles, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I like to think that I set him up in a way to where the chances of Achilles getting out and actually, you know, impregnating another dog or a female dog, I think the chance of that are really low. I really do.
Well, exactly. And it all falls back into the problem isn't with the dogs. We shouldn't be cutting dogs' balls off because we as the dog owners are irresponsible. We can't fucking control the stray population. Like, the stray population is an irresponsible dog owner problem. Mm-hmm. It's not the dog's fault.
Exactly. I just a temporary fix. But anyway, so these guys, they got that information as far as, you know, Chatsworth and, like, some of the ordinance is that you have to have your dog spayed or neutered. So the guy that came by, what was his name? Did he ever give a name?
Jackass number one.
Jackass number one. That's what we're gonna call him. Jackass number one comes up.
Names, remember?
Yeah, that's right. Fuck, you're right. So Jackass number one comes up and he starts talking some shit about, oh, we heard your dogs are off the leash, they're not neutered. We need to get provide all this proof that it is your dog and licensing, and he has to be chipped in Chatsworth and all this other shit, right? And our good friend Trevor had this conversation with this guy, and Trevor pretty much said, listen, and this guy left it with a threat. He threatened, if you do not provide the information that we're asking for, I will take your dog.
I'm going to come back in a week and I'm going to take your dog. Yeah.
And then Trevor did exactly what I would have done, what any dog owner would have done, especially if they have a very close bond with their animal.
And they believe in the Second Amendment.
he did what any of us would have done. And he just said, listen, first off, you're not going to take my dog.
You are not going to take my dog.
That's not going to happen.
He goes, you better come back with a fucking army.
Yeah,
that's
not going to happen. And so...
He goes, shit will escalate so bad.
And in that moment, I'm assuming Jackass number one saw the fucking determination and that overall, like, real fucking emotion in his eyes and decided, well, I'm going to come back on the 19th.
Yeah, I'm going to come back in a month.
As long as the dogs aren't here, I'll just say you guys got away. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was like, you know, that was a whole our way out as far as in that particular situation. So, aside from the dog fucking problem, they also called the city officials. They called the fire department on us.
They called the fire department because it was – why would you call the fire department on a leaky fucking pipe?
Yeah, and that wasn't even – first off, our neighbors across the empty lot that was right next to us had the exact same problem.
Yeah.
Their fucking septic tank was also leaking, and I think it was leaking for longer than ours.
Because we were without rain for so long, it finally rained, so the ground wasn't really able to absorb the moisture like it normally had, because we had been through that drought. But then our septic problems happened at the same time as when the rains came.
Yeah.
We got that heavy rainfall.
It was a perfect fucking storm.
Perfect fucking storm, but they just didn't have shitty neighbors complaining about it, maliciously trying to get us fucking evicted.
This is true.
So once the fire department gets called, and they show up, and I have to go to work, and I just walk right through them because I'm annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And Trevor's talking to him, and the story goes, Trevor's talking to the fire department, trying to be as polite as possible, talking about, you know, like, yada, yada, yada. And then the neighbor comes out and goes, the shitty neighbor. Shitty neighbor number one? What's his name?
Guy.
Fucking guy.
Guy number one.
Guy number one.
I never met guy number two.
I never met either. He's probably a really nice guy.
Probably.
He'd have to be to put up with guy number one.
Oh, my God. Guy number one.
Piece of shit. Anyways, so guy number one, shitty neighbor guy number one, comes out while the fire department's there, and we're talking to them, and comes out going, I have proof of their, it's leaking, I have proof of the septic system, I have video, I have pictures, this and that, like just trying to get us
like,
in trouble.
Dude, live your fucking life, man. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop fucking, oh my God.
This guy was a hall monitor for sure.
I hope guy number one gets diarrhea for like a week straight.
Dude.
I really do.
All kinds of rheas. I hope you get all kinds of rheas, motherfucker.
Yeah, dude, like you are just a terrible human being.
I hope guy number two cheats on you because he deserves better.
Yeah, dude, there you go. I saw him once. He was very just closed off, didn't even look my way. But again, I never even had a conversation outside of that quick little that introduction that we had back in December.
Yeah.
I never had any any conversation with these guys, like either of them. And I can't even begin to tell you the number of times that I would take the dogs out for a run. I mean, I was fucking running all the shit, all the fucking time. And I would walk right past him.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't say anything to
me. Not a word anymore.
He kind of looked like Guy Fieri from Diners, Dive-Ins, and Drives. You know, with like the spiked bleach hair.
Oh, guy number two looked like that?
No, guy number one kind
of
looked like that.
Oh, because he reminded me of the guy from on the beer of the Lemon Shandy with that really big mustache thing.
Oh, shit. No, I can't picture
that. Oh, fuck. Or it's the...
It doesn't matter.
We're butchering that.
Yeah, but if you all have ever seen an episode of Diners, Dive-Ins, and Drives, and you know Guy Fieri, who's the main host of that show, he kind of reminded me of him. A less cool version of Guy Fieri.
Well, Guy Fieri's not that cool.
He's not that cool. But, I mean, compared to the guy number one, he's fucking cool as shit.
Well, definitely. Guy number one's a piece of shit.
Guy number one's definitely a piece of shit. So he comes out waving his phone.
Yeah, basically talking all this, like, oh, I've got proof. And then Trevor, like, said something along the lines of, like, well, maybe if you would have just came over to my door and talked to me like a fucking man, I would have told you that we're getting we're getting our septic tank cleared. Like
It
already happened.
Andy Gump, the company Andy Gump came out and drained our septic tank.
Like just a few days prior.
We saw the fucking paperwork on our countertop.
Yeah.
That we ended up providing to them.
Yeah. So we
to the fire department at this point.
We had already addressed the problem basically. And if this guy would have just knocked on our door, he would have saved these firefighters a day. You know,
taxpayer dollars, fucking another day wasted.
Save the aggravation of trying to come out and get us in trouble, and where we just absolutely knew that it was them getting us in trouble. Mm-hmm. And it was just to the point of like, you should have came over and talked to me like a man instead of being a fucking bitch. Mm. And the guy goes, did you just call me a fucking bitch? And Trevor goes, well, yeah, because you're acting like a fucking bitch. And he said the firefighter started giggling, fucking like, then the guy goes, ugh, and like stormed off into the house and like slammed the door or whatever. And it was, yeah, so there was that. And then the next thing you know, they went in that time and they called the police.
That, I was just going to bring that up. Yeah, so when
he called
the police because Trevor called him a bitch.
Called him a fucking bitch.
I'm sorry,
He said that he was threatened.
Yeah.
That Trevor calling him a fucking bitch was a threat.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
I told that story to my manager, and he's at work because I was on my way to work, and I got the phone call and heard the story and everything. My manager started laughing, and it was the most awkward conversation to be like, hey, just to cover my bases, man, like, can you get in trouble for calling somebody a fucking bitch? And he's like, nah, man. And they're like, nah, you're good. It's like, it's freedom of speech, man. Yeah, I was like, all right, cool.
I mean, I just couldn't believe it. Yeah, so the cop pulls up. The fire department's practically there. I ended up having a conversation with the firefighters, who were actually pretty nice, except for one. There was one asshole. There was definitely one that was kind of being a dick. But I mean, I don't really want to highlight that whole conversation. It was pretty much, he was like, well, you know, your septic tank's leaking. I was like, yeah, we got it fixed. He was like, yeah, well, you can at least gone out and put sandbags around the spigot where the water was coming out. And I said, I did not think of that. But it's been cleared, so there's really no reason for me to do that now.
Yeah,
and he goes, well, every person has a right to complain about shit water going down the street. And I said, I'm not saying they don't have the right. I'm just telling you that Andy Gump came out and drained it just yesterday. So at this point, me putting sandbags over by that drainage pipe is overkill because there is no reason to believe that there'd be water coming.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I saw him roll his eyes and he walked away and then whatever the fuck, right? So that guy kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But again, it was no more than that. Like, it was a very just quick conversation, and I felt like he was just trying to, like, you know, make a point.
Yeah.
And then he quickly realized, well, the point that I'm trying to make is kind of stupid. And so that's when he walked away. Cause it really was. I was like, well, dude, like, I understand you're trying to make a point
he's
doing his job and you're trying to justify and you don't really want to pick sides. But I mean, what you're saying is completely just, it makes no sense. Cause it's already been taken care of.
Exactly.
You're just
beating a dead horse.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, dude, like, clean up that mess. We already cleaned it up. Well, you should have a trash can close by so that in case there's more trash, then you could throw it in the trash can. I'm like, okay, you just wasted moments out of my life. You know, like, what the fuck? Like, what are we talking about here, you know? So anyways, police department shows up. They don't even get out of the fucking car, dude. Like, they are straight up in the car. They pull up. I'm taking the dogs out for a run. I'm just got done having the conversation with the firefighters. There are three firefighters, one of which was a guy that was kind of sour. The other two were actually kind of cool. And I'm walking the dogs out. I actually wave to the cops. I just wave to them. And they look at me. They give me a head nod, like a very just like, hey. And I walk past. And then I come back, and I'm assuming the firefighters spoke to them because I didn't say a single word outside of that wave. And they were gone by the time I got back.
Yeah.
And this is back when I was running the doghouse, and I was knocking that bitch out in under 20 the minute. So I was, you know, I got back like in 19 minutes or so because I was killing it. And I was killing that run. And yeah, so when I got back, they were already gone, and the fire department had left as well. And the next day is when the fucking the state official comes out. This fucking guy in some black khaki pants and a fucking white button-up shirt and a tie.
Motherfucker, dude.
Comes up. Dude, just fucking like, oh, I heard you have a leaking...
Septic sewage. Yeah, exactly. Going down the street. So, I need to test your levels, and I need to put pink dye in your toilets, and I need to do like...
Which fucking that pink dye went everywhere in our fucking restrooms, dude. Yep. Like, what an asshole to not clean that up.
Pretty much.
You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna come in and make a mess and be like, yeah, your shit's fucked up. Have a good day.
Also
and
fucked just, up your counter with a bunch of pink dye.
There was pink dye everywhere, man. Like, everywhere.
Dude, at this point, I was thinking that I was going to set up a harassment case in court against these guys. So I was taking pictures of all the shit.
I was right there with you. But yeah, dude, there's pink shit everywhere. Like, if you're familiar with that unicorn frappuccino that's really popular right now at Starbucks, it's like if somebody got... two of those giant venti unicorn frappuccinos and just poured it all over our fucking, our bathroom sink. Like, all over the place, dude. It was that bad. I'm gonna pull up a picture so you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like this new popular drink.
I was like, Derek's like, he's like, I have no idea about this unicorn drink.
It's trending right now.
I was like, it seems so mystical and elusive.
It's definitely trending right now, man. Unicorn frappuccino.
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Look at that. So, like, that's this new drink that Starbucks is all fucking...
That's colorful, folks.
So, yeah, it was like... Tell me that the dye was not that
color. That does look like...
It was. So, it's like somebody got two of those venti-sized fucking frappuccinos and just poured it all over our fucking countertop in our bathroom. And it was really hard to get off, like in between the tile, dude, like that filler.
Yeah.
That was so hard to get that fucking pink tin out. Yeah. It was still there.
It was still there.
After we left. Yeah, and we paid a fucking cleaning service to come in and clean. After we did what we could... And let's not even get on that.
Well, I was going to say, I think we're going to have to double dip on our vent session.
Well, dude, we can go an hour. I'm down.
I'm totally down for
an
hour.
Cool. I think we can knock it out in an hour. But we're at 42 minutes right now, listeners. We still got to do the NBA and the UFC. I think we can...
Well, we still also got to talk moving. Still got to talk fucking clean. Even though you just scratched the surface on the cleaning service that gouged us.
Yeah.
Well, we can still do talk about deposit, how we got fucked on deposit.
Yeah, we could.
The moving it, I double dipped on moving because it was really bad like 4 days where we were homeless.
Homeless. Yeah, dude. Well, there's a lot. So let's just try to knock it out as quick as we can then. So going back to city official comes out. He tests everything, obviously confirms what our suspicion, you know, what it was. And he was like, the septic's a little fucked up. It's old.
30-year-old septic, so, you know.
And that house had been there for 30-plus years. So, yeah. I mean, we can only imagine how long, you know.
There's a lot of shit that went through that septic.
A lot of shit. And, so it was bad. And he ended up relaying that information to our previous landlord. And, obviously, just based off of her body language, her facial expression, and just... the tone of her voice, it was, we knew what was going to come. Like,
we knew we were a couple days away from a 30-day notice.
Exactly. Like, we figured it out. We're like, okay, no matter what, we're probably going to have to move. So we should definitely figure something out. And, then that's what ended up happening.
Yeah,
and
so.
Then, you know, we got the 30-day notice. It was really shitty because we definitely loved that place. We even tried meeting her down the middle, listeners, in the sense that, it was her obligation. If she wanted us to stay there, it would have been her obligation to set us up
in a hotel. Yeah.
To where, so in that time that, you know, it takes for them to fix that septic tank, we would have been put in a hotel. We gave her the option of, listen, we're willing to pay for the hotel for ourselves. Like, we'll pay for our own way as long as you get this taken care of and you promise us that we'll be able to move back in after it's done.
Right.
And It sounded like she didn't even want to pay to fix it. I think she sold the house
as is.
As is. And I think she obviously, full disclosure, right? So well, she yeah. probably told the, you know, the now new owners of the place, like, hey, septic tank's fucked up. So I'm going to give you a discounted rate on the fucking price of the house. But at the same time, I don't want to deal with it. Because she kept saying to me how expensive this job was.
Yeah.
And where the septic tank was, we have a driveway in the back of the house. And it was right underneath that driveway. So obviously, taking all of that concrete out, breaking up that driveway, digging up the septic tank, buying a new one, putting that in, and then filling up that driveway, and then putting fresh concrete over it. I mean, I'm very new to this whole thing, so I don't know. I don't know ballpark.
A contractor's like, yeah, that's like a 48-hour job.
Yeah. No, you go to Mexico, man, that's a 12-hour job. Yeah. That's what we should have done, dude. Yeah, so I'm assuming it, you know, cost maybe $10,000.
She said it was like a, she got quoted like $25,000 to $30,000 or something like that.
Jesus.
Like it was going to be, I mean, for the
sake. Christ.
You got to think you're buying a huge tank mm-hmm. as well, like, and, mm-hmm. and redoing a bunch of the piping and getting into the walls and. I don't know. It's a 3-story house, so you got to connect all these pipes.
Yeah, that's and then there were a few issues too.
There were more than a few tinks
throughout the house. It was old.
The wiring for the fuse box.
God, that's a completely different podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all this shit's happening. We end up getting the 30-day notice.
Yeah.
30-day notice, and in that time, we started looking. We started going out looking for places to stay.
We found out we're losing a couple roommates. So
yeah, You know, just it was a situational thing. You know, one roommate in particular, his truck, you know, broke down on him, and he just, you know, he wasn't in a good place at the time. I completely get it, and he decided to move back, you know, to our hometown, Bakersfield. And then our other roommate just wasn't really happy with the whole thing, and living in LA had been a lot of stress, and he decided to move back to Bakersfield as well. So, and then there were three.
Yeah.
You know, and then there were three. And it was myself, Crystal, and Mike. And
Three
bedrooms are expensive.
Yeah. It's about the same as four bedrooms.
It's about the same. There's not much difference, right?
There's
really not. No,
except there's just less people to pay for it.
Less people to pay for it, and, you know, less square footage.
Yeah.
By a little bit.
Yeah, less everything. Less of, yeah.
Yeah. But you're paying about the same.
If not more.
It's the truth. It's the truth. So all this is going on. We're looking. Full disclosure here, there was about a week period after we got our 30-day notice where we kind of were being a little lackadaisical, thinking, well, maybe we can work something out, you know, talk some reason into
We should have had a 60-day notice, too, because we'd been living there for over 2 years. But once the dog scenario came about where they were
that
like...
That was the thing.
Either we move out in 30 days and we don't have to worry about the whole neutering, mm-hmm. you know, animal control thing, or we could invoke our 60-day right as California tenants that have mm-hmm. been living there for over 2 years.
That's very true. Animal control was saying that they're going to be coming back a day or two after
our
30-day.
Yeah.
So we obviously had to get out of there. I didn't want to risk any harm to my animal, my best friend, my son. I couldn't do it. I would have done something that would have probably gotten me into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So I did myself a favor, and this is how I'm looking at that. You know?
Yeah.
So we ended up leaving. Again, that first week or so, we were kind of being a little, I don't know.
Well, I thought we were going to have 60 days at first.
So did I. And then they end up serving that thing onto us.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of a shitty situation.
Then it just put us in like a 2-week crunch, basically.
It pretty much was. So, in about, we did have like 2.5-3 weeks of just looking, going mm-hmm. to open houses, you know, scheduling appointments. I actually did the adult thing, and I went out and I got a fucking realtor, and I had this mm-hmm. woman looking for us as well. And we actually never sent her that thank you card for at least helping us out. But fuck it, at this point.
Whenever she comes into your bar, I figure you just buy her beer or something.
Yeah, for sure.
You take care of it.
Dude, I was a regular at the Moose Den, and I had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
That was so crazy. But anyways, so we're out there, we're looking, we're searching, can't find anything. And then, we ended up having to do a little bit of a crunch time and actually rent out a storage container.
Yeah.
And that was a bit of an issue. It's one thing to move after you've been into a place for just under 3 years. You acquire a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
You come up. It's funny how that works.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny how you end up picking up things here and there, and you end up just not throwing anything away.
Dude, with all the storage space we had in that old house.
All the storage space, dude. So this whole thing is going on. We downsize once, downsize twice, and then realize, holy shit, we're going to have to downsize a few more times before we can fit everything into the storage container on top of what do we really want to bring.
Yeah.
Because not only are we moving, but we're moving our shit to a storage unit to eventually move our shit to a new place. So, like, you know.
Yeah, we don't even know where we're going to live yet.
We're
so
not
what
going
to keep
A to
is...
B. We're going A to B and then hopefully end up finding a location for C. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So this is just a lot at once. So we end up getting a storage container. We end up, you know, moving everything into there. That worked out, but there was a four-day period where we were in limbo.
Yeah.
And we were out. We had no place to stay. I ended up staying at my boy Matt Roadhouse Rodic spot. Thanks again, Matt. Do appreciate you holding me down there for a little while. It worked out, you know, like in that sense. He had an extra room. His girlfriend Veronica was more than welcoming. She was great. Thanks again, V. I love you guys very much. And it also helps that, you know, he has a dog of his own and they also have a cat. So as far as bringing Achilles into the mix, Achilles is already really good friends with their dog, Nala. So it was just, it was perfect. It was definitely a really perfect scenario for me to lay down my head for a few days. You know, I really do appreciate that. And I'll never forget that, Matt and Veronica. Really do love you guys for that. So yeah,
but
so
I was there. It was tough though to have the three roommates trying to look for a place.
It was tough,
like when everybody's living in their own perspective couch, trying to come
you're
together.
You're staying at Joe's spot,
Joe's apartment.
You know, Crystal was at Tara's place.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all, you know, this is all over text messages, phone calls, trying to organize something
while still working,
and I ended up looking online, and then it got to the point where I was just like, you know what? At this point, we were only looking for houses because, mm-hmm. you know, that's what we were accustomed to. I mean, within the last 5 years, I would say.
I've never lived in an apartment.
The first one, right, for you?
This is the first for me, yeah.
Within the last 3-4 years, oh, it's more than that because I was at Elkwood for a minute.
You were at the Elkwood, yeah.
Yeah, I was there for a year.
And then the townhome.
And the townhome, which pretty much was like a house, dude. That had a front yard and a backyard.
Yeah, it's not. It's definitely not an apartment.
Definitely not an apartment. So, yeah, let's say like the better half of 5 years. The better half of 5 years, I was in a home-style setting where I had a yard. I had a lot of space. I had a garage. You know, like there was just... There was never an issue with space, area for my dog to play. It was always just very convenient.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to see what deals we can find as far as like an apartment kind of a setting. And then we end up finding this place. You know, the verandas?
The verandas,
yeah. So brand new apartment spot.
Freshly renovated, yeah.
Freshly renovated, brand fucking new. It's right next door to a Viad at the supermarket, which is super convenient. Really love that. And the amenities alone are actually is pretty worth it.
Yeah,
I mean, 24-hour gym, hot tub, pool,
business center.
A business center, you know. It's just there's a lot of cool shit about it. And it's right next to the orange line, which is the main walk path and bike path that follows the metro line. So that pretty much shotguns you all the way up to Chatsworth or further up. And it takes you all the way down to Victory, and you can actually take that down to Van Nuys. And all while riding a bicycle, if that's what you want to do.
Absolutely.
You know, it's pretty dope. Or you can take the fucking metro if you're lazy. I mean, it's really up to you. So that's kind of cool, but it's no house.
It's definitely not a house.
It's no house.
When you're on the second floor too, and you're in an apartment, I mean, I know you've had to do it. You got to take your dog down the stairs outside.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, there's. You know, the place came with a smart TV. That was cool.
That was cool. That was definitely cool.
You know, and then they gave us $500 to move in terms of a Visa gift card once we moved in to buy like household amenities and stuff.
And
so, I mean,
we definitely we made the most out of that.
Yeah,
you know?
We still have. Like,
I got myself
bucks.
Some new pillows, some new bed sheets.
Yeah,
you know.
So I mean, overall, like once we got into this place, everything kind of turned around. I would say for the most part.
For the most part, for sure. There was a period there where I was very stressed out.
Oh yeah,
you know, just and it really it had nothing to do with any particular like one particular person or one particular scenario. It was everything to do with the entire lump sum of shit that we had to deal with.
Yeah,
it was just there was so much shit that we all had to deal with. I'm not trying to, you know, just make myself out to be the victim here. You know, this is me twiddling my fingers together, playing the world's smallest violin just for me. That's not what I'm doing.
You want some cheese?
Yeah, right? Like, that's definitely not what I'm doing. We all had to deal with this, just this stress, you know?
Yeah.
This over-fucking-whelming stress. And
Jesus.
There's nothing more stressful outside of being completely broke, which is also very fucking stressful.
Which is what it felt like we were, because we were saving up the whole time.
Yeah, the whole fucking time. But there's very little things on this in this world that are as stressful as not having a place to stay. Like, a place that you can call home. A place that you, no matter what, I can go home. I can just go home and lay on my bed and get a good night's sleep. And, you know, if today was a shitty day, if I had the worst day ever at work and a personal relationship and my dog chewed on my shoe, I can still sleep in my bed tonight and wake up tomorrow and it'll be a brand new day.
Exactly.
When you don't have that, when you don't have that sense of that restart button or that sense of security, which is mainly what it is, security.
For sure.
It fucking drives you insane, man. It drives you insane. You know, like I had one moment where I kind of lost my shit a little bit. You know what I mean? And it happened to be on St. Patrick's night. St. Patty's night, dude, like mixed with the booze. And that was the first night where I was actually not at my home. It was the last day that we stayed. That the morning of was the last night that we stayed at our old place.
Right.
It was just a lot. It was a lot of fucking stress. And I had a little bit of a moment and I lost my cool, you know. Yeah. I took it out on the wrong people, and that was my bad. That was me not handling that stress in the right way, and I kind of handled it in the negative way, and it spilled out. But I learned a lot from that, you know. I that was a very stressful and just
that's the most
overwhelming situation. That,
super stress
for sure. It was... I really feel like that experience really helped build me a little bit more, because like, you're constantly working on yourself as a person, right?
Sure.
Would you not agree?
Absolutely.
You know, you're constantly trying to get better. I mean, at least this is how I view it. And then for those of you that can at least relate to this, then good on you. And for those of you that don't, then you need to fucking step up your game. You know, you're constantly trying to better yourself as a person, as a friend, as a lover, as a fucking dog owner, if you have a dog or a cat or whatever the fuck. Like, learn from your mistakes. That's why you make them. You make those mistakes so you can learn from them, and that so that you don't make those mistakes again. And I truly believe that I learned so much in that from January to March. Mm-hmm. There was so much growth that I went through, and I'm sure you did as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure Crystal did, and I'm sure Billy and Trevor went through the same shit. You know what I mean? Because there was a lot of shit that we all went through. Like, Billy had his own battles, you know, with his car.
With his car and truck.
And then all that. And then just, you know, that was, I can only imagine the stress that he was going through, you know? I mean, I'm not saying my stress was greater, but it was, I think it was equal to, but in a completely different situation.
It's like apples to oranges.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I learned so much in that small amount of time that I truly believe, if that were to ever happen again, which I really don't ever want to experience, not having a place. This is the second time that I've been kind of homeless for, you know. But the last time that this happened, it was only a 2-3 day period. And I had a place already lined up. It's just, it was, the timing was off. So let's just say for the sake of the listeners, let's say I moved out on the 28th. And the day we got the key was on the 1st. So, like, it wasn't as if I didn't have a place lined up. It just wasn't the first of the month for me to get the key to move in. That's what happened there. This scenario was completely different because we had nothing. There was nothing on the docket.
No.
It was, we were trying to find something.
Yeah.
So, I truly believe, you know, if I ever, God fucking forbid, but if I ever get into a situation like that again, I now know how to handle it. I now know what I need to do and how to keep myself calm and how to just, you know, compartmentalization is key when it comes to shit like that. So I now know how to move things around to where I'm not going to have that spillover on that stress, you know. And on top of that, there was a lot of things that happened between. Like, I injured my shoulder, so the moving part was really difficult for me. Like, lifting heavy things is a fucking huge issue. My work was being a little bit of an issue as well, so there were a lot of things that were going on that added to the stress. It wasn't just the fucking neighbors and the moving. Like, that was a big part of it.
Yeah.
That was a huge part of the pie. But it wasn't just that. There was a lot more that was going on. A lot more that was going on. So, yeah, man. Crazy, crazy shit.
Dude, I would agree, man. Nothing but stress.
Mm-hmm.
from 2017. I remember New Year's came and I was like, it's supposed to be a good year. And it just fucking felt like we were just taking lefts and rights and combos and
Dude, but we were fucking bobbing and weaving, though. We were standing.
We're bobbing and weaving, and now we came out on the other side, and I just think that it all really resonated for me. I mean, the stress didn't really finish once we moved in here, but
it kind of still lingered on for a little bit.
There was still some, but I remember the first night, though, once we finally moved in, and like, the Monday that we moved in was super stressful for me, especially. I remember I had to lay down in the room because I was so dehydrated from just the rough weekend and moving and being out in the sun and just like, I felt like we moved three times or for 4 days or something like that. So just a lot of heavy lifting every day on top of St. Patrick's Day, boozing and this and that. It just wasn't, and again, just the stress. The stress can really add up.
You know, I think that St. Patrick's Day, I should have just taken it off and not added any booze to that. Because that's where I was at my highest peak. I mean, I wanted nothing more than to just go somewhere quiet and just collect my thoughts and just be around people that I want to be around, as opposed to being in a fucking bar setting with just that, you know, chaos, commotion, people shout. It was just too much, you know. And at the end of the day, it's my fault for, you know, losing my cool for that little, you know, 40-minute period, but still, you know, I set myself up for failure by putting myself in that particular scenario.
Well, like you said before, now it's just in anything, it's just knowing the warning signs. You know what I mean? Like seeing the flags and knowing the triggers. But like I was saying, I remember the first time that on Monday when we actually did finish moving in, and you know, it was like 6 or 7 o'clock, and then we were like, you know what, let's stop worrying about shit. Let's not worry about unpacking or anything like that. Let's just go downstairs to the hot tub and like I can enjoy this place. And that was, I don't know. Once you go through all those trials and tribulations and you get hit with lefts and rights and you got fucking shitty neighbors and fucking, you know, just life's kind of coming at you. It's only temporary. And then once you come out on the other side, you do feel like you've either accomplished or grown from it. So it's, once we were actually in the hot tub, it was that moment where I was like, damn, like, this is real. We got through the, you know, there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And that light was in the form of a hot tub. and it was a sense of accomplishment, you know. And
100%.
You know, it's because before, in my living scenarios before, it's always been like co-signer or, you know, moving in with to my brother's place. And, you know, it's like a deal or something like that where I don't even need to apply. And then with Marlene, it was done on a handshake and a smile kind of thing and no credit check or nothing.
Yeah.
But with this place, it was like credit check, you know, just, I don't know, no co-signer, no nothing. It was just, it felt good to just do it all on my own. And
it definitely did.
Yeah, so once that got done, we're sitting in the hot tub and enjoying a beverage. It was a Powerade for me because I was so dehydrated.
Buddy, yeah, I was worn the fuck out, man.
But yeah, I mean, once that happened, and then as the days wore on, I just kind of felt this little bit of a relief. I mean, for me, the bitch that will remain nameless, it was nice to just get away from that old house and that old memories and just start new and start fresh in a new environment that I had achieved just by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, with roommates, but
by myself. I know what you mean. Yeah, no, for sure. It's a new beginning, you know. It's definitely a new beginning. And throughout that time, it's just, man, my libido left. I had no libido. I didn't want a podcast. I hardly wanted to train. And when I did train, it was really just to relieve stress. I mean, there's nothing like punching somebody in the face when you're in a bad mood.
Dude.
And whenever I'm in a sport where that kind of thing's like allowed and actually it's encouraged, you know, like, oh man, good combination. You punch me in the face and the stomach at the same time. I'm like, yeah, well, thank you. Like, I really needed to punch somebody, so I appreciate that.
You're like, I was imagining you were a shit guy neighbor number one.
Yeah, exactly. So it was the only, I don't know. I feel like now I'm kind of, you know, catching my stride again. I had a little bit of, I had time to self-reflect. You know, it took me a little bit longer than I would like, but I feel like I'm back. I really do. I mean, I just told you this morning, I've been up all night. I pulled it all fucking night.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because I wanted to. It wasn't because I, you know, I have stress in my life. There's no, outside of what we went through, the stress that I have right now is minuscule compared to what we went through. And I'm being 100% honest. You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, there's always going to be a little things in your life that's going to be a little like, oh, that's a little shitty. But at the end of the day, what we went through was so fucking much that what I'm dealing with right now is really just, oh man, I just got to deal with a small little issue and that's it. And I'm good. So last night was 100%. Because I was just self-reflecting. I was just thinking of things. I was thinking of the things that I've done. I was thinking of the things that I need to do. I was thinking of why I haven't been doing what makes me happy, what I feel like I'm good at, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of those being, you know, the training and just being there on, you know, 5 days a week. And just, I'm so fucking happy when I'm doing that. Podcasting, like, I fucking love it, dude. Yeah. I love it. It's fun. You know, it's fun. It's something that I don't ever see myself not doing. If that makes sense, I don't see myself not,
sure.
Whether it's a podcast or whether it's like my own blog page or whether it's something like that. I don't know, man. Like it's fun. I enjoy it. It's a beautiful outlet, you know. It's like an artistic outlet in a way where I can just kind of hang out and talk and then learn and some shit and
it's exact,
and express
it,
some shit.
Exactly. It's expression too. It's practically mm-hmm. It's like a therapy. It can be.
In a way.
You know
it
what
is.
I mean? Like you get some stuff off your chest. You get to... You know, you get to tell the folks that I'd rather, you know, get a hand job from a 10 versus a blow job from a 6.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can argue your points.
Yeah, you
and
can.
It's like, what other forum do you, besides a podcast, can you really discuss something like that?
Not many.
There's, you know what I mean?
Really, there really aren't that many platforms that you can go on and actually...
And ask that question.
Ask that question and have fun with it.
Right?
You know, like
and
fun
make,
with it.
Make legitimate arguments. About that. Because I've actually brought that question since I forget what podcast it was, like 6 or 9 or one of those.
It was early, man. Like, that's back when this was barely even catching any had at that point, we had like 2, maybe 3 podcasts in.
Yeah, I think it was 6.
It might have been 6.
I want to say 6. Not that my memory's perfect, but it's pretty close.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, it's just, I brought that question out into the world. It's like that, those little podcasts, I'm like, all right, what kind of guy are you? Like, would you rather have an audience? We're going to bring it back to you. You can comment below. I don't know if we have that kind of forum, but yeah. Would you rather have a hand job from a 10, a perfect 10, or a blow job from a 6? That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a follow up. But, yeah, podcasting's a lot of fun, man.
It 100% is. And last night was just a moment of self-reflection. So it was that moment of just figuring out what exactly is going on. Why am I not doing certain things? Why am I don't know. Why am I keeping myself from the things that I love, you know? So, I woke up this morning and I was... Well, by this morning, I mean I was up this morning because I never really slept. And I was just like, hey, I've been doing a lot of thinking and I know what I need to do in order to get my libido back. And I feel like, you know, this is a great step in the right direction as far as doing that. And
nice.
I don't plan on taking a hiatus as long as we did, you know, like that was definitely too long.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, it was like a month, over
dude,
a month, maybe.
It was way, yeah, we've it been was, here, it's been at least like 6 to 7 weeks, listeners. We apologize for the hiatus. We're also going to be probably having a double dip in terms of like other, what you're normally used to.
Yeah,
in terms of,
no, for sure. I mean, if
podcasting.
Anything, yeah, if anything, we'll leave that podcast for, you know, a different day.
Right.
You know, we're already over the hour, but dude, I feel great. You know, I do. I wanted this episode to be about that. I did. And that was the main thing that I was thinking about last night is I don't want to just podcast. I want to get out there and I want to get all that shit out. I want to just get it out. And then so the podcast episodes after this are just going to be what they are normally about, you know, which kind of depends on the guests, kind of depends
it does,
on
yeah.
what, you know, like what topics are popular. It just, again, I really have no set format that we
right.
stick to, and I like that. You
absolutely.
Know, I don't want to just stick to sports. I like sticking to everything and anything. You know, and I've always said that. Whenever it's a very common question. Whenever anyone finds out that you know, podcast. Well, what do you talk about?
What's your podcast about?
Everything and anything, but we do talk a lot about sports. I mean, that's true.
part of our lives.
It's a big part of our lives.
As was this move.
Yeah, huge fucking part. Huge learning experience, and. Yeah, I'm really thankful, you know. I'm really thankful that I went through it, and I'm a better person now. You know, I'm a stronger person now. I think we all are. You know?
Yeah.
I think we're all stronger people now because we all had that moment where we're just like, what the fuck is going on?
I think everybody had to question what they were doing down here and what their future was going to hold. And, you know, just like Crystal was thinking she was going to have to move back to Texas.
It's true.
I didn't know what the fuck I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I was not going to move back home there is no moving back home for me. Mm-hmm. I was between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get my own place, man. Because like, I didn't know that your brother, because I found this out afterwards, the Winneka situation.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that your brother was staying with Joe or any of that.
Right.
I thought he was still at that old Winneka spot.
Okay.
So there was a moment there where I thought you might have gone back to the Winneka house. You know what
I mean? That would have been super cheap.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God.
And you know, I had that in my mind.
That would have been tempting.
Michael's probably, you know, the only reasoning that I can come up with of why you wouldn't is because he's like having a kid, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
have a kid, I'm gonna need the room, kind of a thing. Like that was the only logical explanation that I can come up with that would keep you from doing that.
Shout out, I'm an uncle. My brother had a baby.
Yeah, congratulations, Mark Gilman.
Yep, Jay's Dominic Gilman into the world.
Yeah, man, congratulations, man. Congrats for sure. So that was the only. So I thought I was having to get my own place. So I was already looking at like one bedroom apartments, one bedroom studios, one bedroom studios. Well, what the fuck else is a studio, right? Just one bedroom,
right?
So I was looking into that, you know, and it was definitely something that I thought I might end up having to do. And yeah, so it was a clusterfuck. It was a clusterfuck of a situation. And I'm happy it's behind us. There's a big part of me, and the more time that passes between that moment, that stressful period of our lives to now, the more time that passes, the more I'm actually thankful that it did happen.
Yeah.
You know, I really am. Like, I'm at first, like, the day after, I was like, man, fuck this. You know, even the first night that I slept in this bed, in this room, I was still like, fuck this. That was so stressful. I don't ever want to do that again.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, I'm assuming, you know, a year from today, I'm going to be even more so like, that was great. That was a fun time. Right now, I still don't think it was a fun time. Still not fun. The only reason why I think I would eventually look at it that way is just that's kind of how I am.
Yeah.
I try to look at the positive no matter what. And the time previous to that where I was, you know, homeless for a few days, I was with Johnny and we were staying at your old place.
Right.
And I did have a great time.
Yeah, it was
like,
fun then.
I actually had a lot of fun. So I'm assuming, you know, eventually at some time down the road, I will look at that whole experience and I'll laugh at it. I'll just laugh like, oh man, that was a crazy fun time, even though it was fucking stressful as all hell.
The same thing with the hardest hike that I ever went on when we went to the radio tower with Trevor.
Yeah.
You know, when that hike happened and I almost killed myself mm-hmm. on this hike. Hardest physically and mental, or I'm not saying anything right anymore, but the hardest physical and mental thing I've ever done was this like 9.5 hour hike and just completely dehydrated, almost killed myself. And I just remember getting back and being like, I hated that, I hated that, I hated that, I hated that. Like, I've got diarrhea, I'm throwing up from dehydration, I'm just miserable.
Mm.
And, but it wasn't for weeks, and even now, months later, when I'm still telling the story about how horrific it was.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever done it justice in terms of the mental side of how miserable I was out there.
Yeah.
And just to the point where I was like, no, I think I would rather just lay here than fucking go back down the mountain because we went the wrong way again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? It was just a lot of just wanting to tap out and just couldn't tap out because Trevor said, I'm going to tell everybody you died on a hike. And that was enough for me to be like, all right, well.
That's fucking, yeah.
I can't go on my casket.
That will not go on the casket.
That will not, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, you're going to tell everybody I died from just walking?
Yeah. Like, even though in a way you kind of died with your boots on.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
I better be running.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway. Anyways, semantics.
Yeah.
But the point is that once you go through something super challenging like that and just super, you know, challenging, I'm going to double dip. After a while now, it just becomes this like notch on your belt saying mm-hmm. like, you know what? I went through something like you have a tough story. Like I went through something super, super, super difficult physically and mentally. The challenge that lets me know though, that even through really tough circumstances, you're going to come out on the other end and it'll mm-hmm. be a story.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, give with time,
yeah, everything like, will be. It's like almost my motto now. Anytime I go through any crazy situation, whether it's bad or good, or whether it's I don't know, just out of the ordinary, I always, at the end of it, I always say it just makes for a good story.
Yeah,
and that's the truth. I mean, here we are talking about this one. Two and a half month period of our lives, and we've been talking about it for an hour and 15 now.
Yeah.
And I guarantee we can probably fill up another 45 minutes
and make it to at least hours.
We can easily talk about it because we left so much out. But really, the stuff that we left out isn't that relevant.
No, you know? It's just details.
I mean, it's just details, you know, and we don't really need to go down that road.
No.
I think we covered pretty much all the bases. And yeah, fuck, man, it was crazy. It was crazy. It's done now. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. You know, it's over now. I'm not expecting the rest of 2017 to be a walk in the park, but
no.
You know, I am expecting, you know, a little bit more of an easier trail from here on out. Just a slightly easier trail because it started off so fucking rocky.
Dude, if you believe in yin and yang, then yeah, we're due for some yang.
We are definitely due. We're overdue for sure.
Overdue for some yang.
Yeah, I mean, those months, there were a lot of sleepless nights during that time.
Yeah, man.
You know, and, before we get going, I just want to say, all that shit aside, man, I'm happy things worked out the way they did, you know. I'm bummed out that Trevor and Billy had to move back to B-Town.
Yeah.
You know, I do miss those guys. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, they both had there was nothing keeping them here outside of just us, you know, our company kind of a deal. And Billy had a better job lined up, and then Trevor, you know, he just doesn't really like San Fernando Valley and how congested it is.
Yeah, and with his business too, if he could cut out his overhead.
Yeah, then, exactly. Like there are a lot of things that I mean so there are just a lot of things. If they both would have stayed, there were a lot more things that could have gone wrong for them as opposed to right.
Yeah.
So, and I miss them in that sense, but at the same time, I understand why they moved back. It's just, it's kind of shitty. It's just, it definitely kind of shitty. Those neighbors.
Those fucking neighbors.
No, even if that wouldn't have happened, I still think that was inevitable for both of them.
Yeah.
And it's no knock on them. It's just Billy losing his truck, Trevor already, you know, thinking, well, I can save more money and I can go out. I know his dad offered him a job somewhere too, so he kind of had that on the table. And I always say more options is good. It's always good to have more options, especially when it comes to, you know, like a job or some sort of like financial gain. You want to be an entrepreneur. You do. You want to have money coming in from all sides. That's the only way to get to financial freedom. So, and Billy too, you know, like he had that job on the table and he didn't have a truck anymore. And I was kind of chauffeuring us around, and that obviously became a little bit of an issue. And on top of that, the high stress. So it was inevitable. Whether or not the neighbor situation would have worked out, I think that would have eventually have happened. We would have had to cross that bridge, you know, maybe later rather than sooner kind of a thing. But still, it would have happened. So that, I mean, with all that being said, I'm just, yeah, man, I'm happy. I'm happy it's all over, and I'm happy I had Brianna Nicole Lua there to kind of help me out.
That was one thing I was jealous of. I was like, you had your dog, you know, Achilles, and I was like, man, like, I'm just like looking around on Joe's couch, and I'm just like, fuck, man, this sucks.
Yeah. I'm going to remember, an hour and 18 minutes in, it's going to be a heartfelt message to Brianna. I'm really thankful that you were there to help me out. There were some moments where I kind of, you know, I was kind of getting a little stressed out, and you definitely helped keep me grounded, and I do appreciate that. You're an amazing woman. I do appreciate you very much. I love having you in my life, and but yeah, you're right, dude. Like, that was definitely something that kind of kept
little piece of home.
Kept me sane, you know, like having Brianna there and having Achilles there, it was definitely, it never felt as if I was alone by myself kind of a deal. So, I'm very thankful that she's in my life. I am. And like, that's besides that scenario. Like, even before all that shit went down, because when she and I started dating, there was none of this. There was no neighbor situation. There was no moving. It was just, I met a great woman. She's fantastic. And I was happy. And then she just, the way life works out, man, like, you know, you end up finding somebody that you have no idea is actually going to help you in the coming months, because yeah. the coming, I mean, how the fuck
helps you, helps you weather a storm, yeah. you know I mean?
And, you can't predict the tides, man. Nah. You just can't, you know, you can kind of have an idea, but you just can't predict it. And none of us had any idea what was to come.
No.
We had no idea. And, you know, me meeting.
You just got to roll with it.
Yeah. And Brianna and I meeting when we did, and starting our relationship when we did. It was just a few weeks after that where things started to kind of, you know, kind of go haywire. And she was definitely there to help me out.
Both
yeah,
of you
man,
guys.
For sure.
For, on her end, for being able to identify that this is, you know, weathering a storm. Yeah. And two, for you to be able to juggle both, you know, or all, you know, the job, yeah. the dog, the new, that new romance in your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the stress, really, just all the while you got this stress cloud over you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said I was jealous that, you know, you had Achilles and Brianna to kind of lean on. Yeah. But at the same time, that's also energy. Like, all my energy was just on the stress mm-hmm. and trying to make sure I stay calm and just go to work and get
yeah.
home.
Yeah.
So it's yeah, it's both, I think. I think it's yeah, I'm just
it's definitely a double-edged sword, man, because I mean there were, you know, there were moments where keeping that stress of, okay, I got work, I got this living situation, I have Achilles and I have Brianna, and I have to, like, you know, balance my time amongst all those, and I have to, you know, make sure the stress doesn't spill out over here, and I don't take stress out over here, and my work life doesn't come back. So it was a little bit, you know, there was definitely a little bit of a challenge there as
yeah.
well. You know, there was a huge challenge, and you know, I'm happy that I found somebody that, you know, that's just willing to, you know, grow with me.
Yeah.
And that's really what it came down to. Like, she's definitely willing to grow with me, and I'm definitely 100%. I back her with everything she does. And I'm very thankful. I really am. And I can't say that enough.
You have my stamp of approval too. I'm just going to mark the time at 1:21:30 where
yeah.
you got the best friend stamp of approval.
There you go.
I remember the first time I was playing Madden, and there was like 3 or 4 times she included me in your guys' conversation. Well, I was probably hogging the TV, but either yeah. way.
Oh, it's all good. We're having good conversation.
You guys are having a good conversation, and she brought in the room like, Mike, is that true?
Yeah.
You know, a few times, and I was like, oh, okay. You're not just focused on there. Like, you're focused on, there was just something more going on, and
yeah.
I was just like, immediately, I was like, you're cool. Thanks for making me feel like not the third wheel in the room.
Yeah, I gotcha. No, for sure. I can't say it enough, so I'm just gonna say it again. I'm just in awe in this this relationship, and I'm very happy.
Now I'm in awe.
Yeah, I truly am, though. I truly am. I have nothing but good things to say about her. You know, she makes me want to do better, and that whole.
So don't stop now. Stay
you know,
romantical,
she,
bro. Just because I went awe.
She definitely, you know, makes me want to be a better person, and she definitely wants. She definitely gives me that that encouragement and that inspiration to reach my full potential. You know, as a person, as an adult, as a boyfriend, as a dog owner, as a mixed martial artist, as a podcaster, just all those. You know, she makes me want to do more and do better. And yeah, it's just nice doing things not just for myself. If that makes sense. Because like up until before I met her, it was I had previous relationships and all that, and they're all great in their own right, but this is the first time where I can honestly, truly say without even batting an eye that I, up until this point, up until she and I got together, I mainly did all those things for myself.
Oh.
You know, like a lot of it.
Wow.
I would say 90% of it was for myself. Obviously, I seek the approval of others, my mom, even though she lives in Bakersfield, so she's not there all the time. You know, my friends and all that stuff too. But a lot of it was for myself, you know, it was for my own personal self growth and self esteem, and just something that I can, when I lay my head down at night, I can say, fuck yeah, Derek, you did it. You know, you did this or you did that, and good job, Derek. And I was always the one patting myself on the back. I felt like for a very long time, very, very long time. And even with my previous relationships, you know, yeah, I mean, I did stuff for them as well. And like by stuff, I mean, whenever I would accomplish something, I would definitely like, oh yeah, that was cool, right? Like, you know, I had you in mind. I'm seeking your approval as well.
Right.
But never as much as I do now. And that's really what I'm getting at. Like, it's never been that much drive to also want that approval from this person, where it's like, hey, I'm not just doing it for myself anymore. I'm doing it for the betterment of us, you know what I mean? And I'm doing it to kind of show that, I mean, I'm trying to reach my full potential. And I see a lot of great things in my horizon. I really do. And I'm excited to reach that and to accomplish those goals and to be the person that I believe I can be, you know? So yeah, man. So a minute 18 all the way up until a minute 20, an hour 24.
Yep.
It's all about Brianna. Oh man. All
that's
right.
Your segment.
Yeah, there you go. There's your window. There's your plug, Brianna Nicole Lua.
But don't you fast forward. That's cheating.
That's right. You better listen to the whole thing.
We're quizzing you on the rest of the podcast. Exactly. If you just know about the 6 minutes.
Exactly. But yeah, man, I mean, I don't want to talk too much on it, even though I've already taken pretty much like fucking 10 minutes of it. But yeah. Okay. Yeah, man. It's just, it's great. It's a beautiful thing. And now that, you know, everything's
now
kind
it's,
of...
Now it's time to
the
find...
The dust is settled.
Now I'm ready for a girlfriend.
Here you go, buddy.
Shout out.
He's available. He's accepting applications, resumes, the whole nine.
I'm ready to take down my Tinder profile, ladies. Yeah. Ready to take it down.
Yeah, for sure. Is there anyone you're talking to right now?
No.
No?
No.
Not like talking to?
Not like that at all.
Oh, yeah. like a...
Not even like anything at all, actually.
Gotcha.
So.
I gotcha.
Very much, well, dude, very much available.
It'll happen when you least expect it. I mean,
that's what everybody
really
keeps
will.
Saying.
Yeah, I know. I get that. And this, going back to Brianna, I had no idea she was going to send me a friend request on Facebook. And then, you know, the day
talk about out of the blue, right?
Out of the fucking blue. The day after Christmas, on the 26th, December 26th, I believe that was the day. It's upstairs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. December 26th, I'm pretty sure that was the day, I got a friend request by Brianna. And it was just, holy shit. I mean, you know, there's some history behind that, but I mean, she understands. So the rest of you just, you know, just do what you will with that information. Gotcha. So yeah, like it was 100% out of the blue. And even when I got that friend request, I never would have imagined that was going to lead into this relationship. It was more of an exciting, holy shit, this is somebody that I kind of know. This is somebody that I was always really interested in, but I never would have suspected that she was single at that time. I was single at that time. I don't want to say she was looking. I definitely wasn't looking for a girlfriend, so I don't want to speak for her on that. But it just worked out.
Yeah.
And it was, I did not expect it. Like 100% was not looking. I was not looking. You know, I was dating, but I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. It wasn't. Right. 100% wasn't. So I 100% am like living proof on that, dude. Like for sure it happens when you least expect it. Mm-hmm. And especially something this meaningful is really what I'm getting at. Something this meaningful is something that just happened. It just fucking happened, dude. And then I'm happy that it did. And I'm definitely not looking back. I'm looking forward.
Aww. I'm gonna do a recording of that. Aww.
Yeah, no, right? Every
and
single
then
time.
That way I'm just gonna hit the space bar and then I'm just gonna play it. We should actually do that. Like, we should have every key be... Anyways, yeah, right. That's semantics.
Yeah. But, yeah, so anything you want to say before we get going?
Oh, man. Just... Fucking fuck you, guy neighbor number one.
Yeah.
You're a piece of shit. You didn't win because now we're happier. So
100%.
Fuck you.
100%.
That's pretty much, I didn't want to say anything negative, so
not
I just thought
sure.
I'd go with something light like that.
For fucking sure, man. The last thing I want to say, actually, I want to give a shout out to my buddy Dave Swan. An hour 28, so I'm going to mark you in at. Dave Swan, buddy, hope your podcast is doing well. Please, everybody, check it out. It's called Grubbing with Swan. I'm pretty sure you can find him on Instagram. He's definitely somebody that I follow, so you can follow him on there. He's about 4 or 5 episodes in.
Nice.
I'm on episode 1. I was the guest star.
The launching
for the
one, nice.
Yeah, exactly. So I was on the launching podcast, episode 1, Grubbing with Swan. Please check it out. A lot of fun. The whole concept of it is Dave Swan cooks you a meal And while you're having a meal, you talk and you just have a good time.
That actually sounds fantastic.
It's fun, dude. It was fun. He is on the keto diet, so the meal is based around the keto diet. So, like, you know, no sugars, no carbs, like vegetables, protein, pretty much it. Healthy fats. So
well, that's cool. I
mean, it's cool. So, like, it's in a keto meal, and he cooks it for you, and then you sit there and you talk and you shoot the shit, and he makes you one of the best cups of coffee, Dave Swan. Seriously, man, that CBD oil, no, was it MCT oil? MCT oil that you added to the coffee was fan-fucking-tastic, buddy.
Oh, could you add some CBD oil if I paid you more?
I know, right? I got some back pain here, but I don't want to get
high. Prescription.
Yeah,
it's
prescription. Right? I don't want to get high, but I do have some back pain. But no, check them out. Grubbing with Swan.
I want a ticket to that.
Fantastic podcast. A lot of fun. Thanks again for having me on, buddy. So, long-winded spiel. Anything else, buddy?
No, nothing.
All right. Nothing. Stay tuned, listeners. We'll be throwing another podcast your way very soon.
Definitely.
Back at full swing, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm actually going to be having Dave Swan on here pretty soon.
Nice.
That podcast is going to be he's a comedian. So that podcast is going to be based around that. Like, should comedy.
Ooh, I was going to say, should we make comedy. Him anything?
No, I'm going to make him a great cup of coffee.
There you go. French press.
I mean, if anything, I'll get us. No, nah. I don't. We'll talk
about okay.
it. We'll talk about
it. All right.
But yeah, episode 19 done finally. Episode 20 coming in hopefully by the end of this week, if not early next week. But we're back.
Yeah,
for sure.
Pretty soon we'll be able to drink once we hit 21.
I can't wait. All right, everybody. Legally. Have a good day.